Well, welcome everybody. Episode 29 of Playing With Perspective, the Suspended Animation Podcast. It's a Tuesday morning, isn't it? Yes, it's Tuesday morning. So happy Tuesday, everybody. I hope everybody's doing well out there. And I've got a great show today. The topic of today's episode is Holistic Health and Fertility with Kali Fardoulis. Now, for everybody who doesn't know who Kali is, Kali is an intuitive health coach. She's the founder of Blown Away Hair Spa, which is Southern Sydney's low-toxin hair salon. And after overcoming health challenges of her own, she studied holistic health coaching and became a Reiki practitioner. Integrating a holistic lifestyle has truly changed her life, enabling her to heal certain disease in her own body. And now her aim is to help thousands of individuals on the same journey. She specializes in the fertility field and has a very practical yet holistic approach to coaching, working very intuitively with clients, whether it's in the salon or in a workshop or one-on-one. Fertility is often considered as an area for women, only however, Kali helps both men and women. She works with people that are either generally stressed or experienced certain trauma in the past. So welcome, Kali.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Thanks for joining us. Now, I thought before we launch into a question, I just wanted to kind of put a bit of a framework around what we're talking about. I mean, and it's a fantastic topic because I've spoken to a few people on this podcast about fertility and holistic health. And even I've had a lot of people that have been Reiki practitioners as well. So I just wanted to kind of get a sense of how did you get into all that?
How did I get into it? Well, good question. How did I get into it? Well, how did I get into Reiki? Honestly, I actually got invited one night to a women's circle or something like that. And I met a woman there who was a Reiki master, and we had common people. So I was friends with her hairdresser, and so we got talking, and I've always been interested in energy healing and all that. I find it really interesting. And she said to me we should catch up one day. I was like, yeah, that'd be nice. And then I didn't see her for a little while, and I booked into a retreat for about 4 days. It was just like a little energy healing retreat.
Great.
I was like, I'll give this a go. It was the first time I was dabbling into anything like that. And we ended up actually sharing a room again.
Wow.
I was like, hello. Hello again. And from there, she said, I've just got a 3-day course or that or something. And I'm like, sure, I'll come along. So I actually went and I loved it. It was the first little bit of education out of the salon that I had done for years. And I really enjoyed it. And when we started practicing on each other, there was another lady in the room. All of a sudden I had visions and I was like, oh, whoa, what's this? what's going on here? And I actually had a flashback to when I was probably in year 5 or 6. And you know how some kids play doctors?
Yep, sure.
Yeah, I remember I used to hover my hands over this one woman. I used to be friends, and I used to get her to lie on the bed and hover my hands over her. And I didn't know what I was doing. So the Reiki master was that's when your Reiki started back then. So,
and actually just for the audience out there, cause I've heard a little bit about Reiki in the past and, I've spoken to Reiki practitioner, but what exactly is Reiki?
So, the best way I can describe Reiki, it's a form of energy healing, and it can help with certain ailments heart disease, inflammation, fertility. And we're basically working on an energy level, and the way I was taught was through your chakras. So we all have chakras and meridians and all that.
I think we have seven chakras.
Yeah. So when someone lies in the bed, I can actually visualize the chakras. So the way I visualize it is that they're sort of spinning hay in a field, right? Like in the wind.
Yep.
And if there's one that's spinning too fast or if it's spinning the wrong way, they're the ones that sort of need a bit of balancing or something like that. So when you're your chakra being out can contribute to many things, even to the thoughts we're thinking or things like that. So it's basically getting the body into the most relaxed state as possible, because from there, the body knows how to heal.
Gotcha. And so you say, as a Reiki practitioner, you can look at somebody and see which chakra is out of balance.
Yeah. I'm not saying that's for all Reiki practitioners. That's one of the gifts that I seem to have, is that I can, if I really tune in, it's not like I can walk past people on the street and be like,
number two,
crown chakra's out, you know, like, I probably could if I wanted to, but I choose. I can sort of see that. I can tap into that, and naturally my hands will gravitate towards the area of the body that needs the healing the most.
Wow. And so have you always had this?
Oh, apparently.
Is it a gift, or is it like a, I don't know, some kind of skill, or?
I would say it's a gift. I think from what I understand, you can develop this as well. Like, everyone has the ability. It's whether or not you want, that's something that you want to actually uncover.
Gotcha.
Unlock.
You have to unlock and access that part of
it. Yeah, definitely.
Fascinating, because I've always been into spirituality, and I used to read a lot of Wayne Dyer, Deepak Chopra, Louise Hayes, all those guys years ago. And, you know, I got into all that metaphysical stuff.
Yeah.
And I've spoken to lots of Reiki practitioners and other holistic practitioners over the years. But I've never really had a really good understanding of what exactly it is.
Yeah. So it's basically just getting the body into the most relaxed state as possible. And as a Reiki practitioner, we're the portal for the energy to come through. So we're not doing the work. You're doing the work on the bed, pretty much. Yeah.
Fascinating. And so your spa, did you train in anything particular, like health, massage and other things, or is it kind of a holistic way?
So it's I've got a hair salon.
A hair salon.
The spa comes in because we offer certain hair treatments. We use essential oils. Right. So we use certified therapeutic grade essential oils. So when we put the oils on someone's hair, yes, their hair looks amazing and their scalp improves and their hair is shiny, but they're also getting a therapeutic benefit, whether they know it or not, because the oils work on an emotional level as well.
Okay.
So we wrap their hair with a hot towel, they get an eye mask, they get a blanket. So it's basically like a 10-minute mini, like full on, or depends what treatment they have, but their body's getting into a really relaxed state and the oils can really help with that.
Wow. And so you started your career in hair, and you've kind of morphed into slightly more holistic and fertility.
I started, just wanted to be a hairdresser.
Yep.
Like, didn't ask for any of this. Just wanted to be a hairdresser. And then about 4 years ago, I had some fertility challenges, which then got me researching into the effects that toxins have on our bodies. And I was like, wow, this is really interesting. And I guess I used myself as the guinea pig, as you know, like, I'm like, well, I'll just give this a go. So I slowly started eliminating certain toxins out of my life and introduced certain foods and things like that. And started to notice a change within me. And then, long story short, I actually had no period. So, after encapsulating a holistic approach to health, my period came back. So yeah. And that was after a lot of reading and research and therapy and all that sort of thing. So, the salon, I then made the decision to transition the salon into low toxin, because the more I spoke with the women that were coming in, I noticed that they were having similar challenges to me. These are the conversations we were having in the salon. And one conversation that really, there was a client who at the time she was in remission from cancer, and her doctor had said to her, I want you to use organic hair color. If you're going to color your hair, I want you to eat organic food and get pesticide free veggies. And I was like, why are we not just doing this? Like, why do people wait until something like this happens? And if the doctor's telling me, it just got me thinking. And so I started going to the farmers markets and And to be honest, I still didn't believe if like the whole organic thing was real, because there's so much contradicting information out there. All I knew is that I thoroughly enjoyed the way organic pumpkin tasted. I was like, yep, going organic.
I love pumpkin soup. So organic pumpkin soup is probably even better.
It is amazing. It is amazing. It's so much creamier. So, yeah. So, but on a serious side, there's now like evidence, like statistics that say that like certain chemicals can affect the endocrine system and our ability to, you know, be fertile and all that sort of thing. So it was a bit of a no-brainer to transition the salon into low toxin.
Everybody, well, a lot of, not everybody that comes in, but a lot of people that come in know that it's a low toxin.
Most of them, yes, most of them. Some don't, and they come in and they're pleasantly surprised. Like we still get the same results in hair. So I guess it's a bit of a bonus if that's something they're into. If it's not, we sort of spark their interest.
Great.
And if not, they don't come back. So
that's fantastic. Yeah. That's kind of what I want to get into a bit today. Is you just touched on that, but tell us more about the connection between holistic health and fertility.
Holistic health. Well, okay. So holistic health and fertility. The way I see holistic health, firstly, is taking the whole person into consideration. It's not just one thing like diet, or it's not just like there's a holistic approach. So it's sort of like the way the better that we can take care of our bodies and listen to our bodies, then
we're optimizing our chances and we're increasing our fertility in a way.
And you know, even with fertility, whether it's like whether it is to have a baby, to create something, to give life to something, the healthier you are, the more you know yourself, the more that you can then achieve these goals and that as well. So,
and this applies to men and women, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, how does it feel after a night out drinking? Imagine if you're like, you can only imagine if you're functioning like that on a daily basis, you're like, wow, there's like no, the last thing you want to do is create or think or feel or like anything. You just want to like.
Yeah. You just want to just do nothing. And you're in second gear.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So pretty much. So do you have a lot of men coming to your salon as well for that reason?
We have a few. We have a few, and some are like, no, thank you, no massage. Like, just come and try it. It's really nice. And when we finally convince them to sit at the basin, they enjoy it. But that's them having to get through a belief of theirs that like, you know, men don't have their hair washed or men don't have a treatment or whatever story is going on for them in their minds. Like,
when I go to the hairdresser, the hair wash is the best part.
It is the best part. I agree.
For sure.
Yeah, and that's a great topic, because part of the low tox living is our mind. So I believe it starts in the mind. So that's definitely plays a role.
Absolutely. Wow. So it's really, you know, looking after your holistic health or your health in general obviously affects your fertility and increases your fertility for men and women.
Yep.
And your salon allows people to also minimize the toxins that they add on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
Or when they go to the hairdresser.
Yeah.
Or when they wash their hair or whatever.
Exactly. Wash their hair, yeah. So we also offer educational workshops, which are on hold at the moment, where we like educate and inspire and empower women on intuition, self-love, essential oils as well. So when I did make the switch, I was like, okay, because I've been in the salon for 14 years, and after 10 years, it was like, let's do this. And so I started hosting workshops to educate the clients on why we were making the choices and switches that. So
gotcha, perfect. And so how does Reiki fit into this now?
Reiki is a bit of a side.
Okay.
Every now and then, the Reiki comes out in the salon with the client.
Sitting on the chair, you might say, oh, number three's a little bit out. We need to chat.
I'm like, are you pregnant or something? Like, okay. So I also ended up studying holistic health coaching. So I got a certificate in health coaching.
Yep.
And the way I sort of have, so I do offer Reiki and holistic health one-on-ones on the side, right. Holistic health coaching. However, in the salon, I think the ability that the skills and that Reiki has taught me, I can sort of intuitively pick up on what's going on for the client, whether they know it or not. So whether it's a conversation that might plant the seed for them to maybe look at something, or I can maybe recommend a product that might be more aligned with where they're at the moment. That's how I sort of work.
Gotcha.
In the salon as well. Yeah.
And is it, how many people working in your salon? Is it a big salon or a small salon?
No, there's only two of us at this stage. So I've got an emerging stylist who's fantastic. She's there at the moment. Probably might even be listening to this. And myself. So at this stage, so.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And so in terms of what you do and, you know, helping people with their fertility, does the treatment address the fertility, or does it actually, is there a way that you actually help them address their actual underlying stress and trauma or whatever else? Or are we going too deep now?
No, I love this. I could talk about this for hours. one helps the other. If you can address the underlying,
okay,
most times, then the rest, you know, then the rest sort of starts to fall into place a little bit.
Right.
So, and the best example I can give you is part of my story, and that is that, so for example, I had no period, so there was no like blood flow through the ovary, like through that whole system, which is like stagnation.
Yep.
Right. So questions that at the time you could ask yourself, or if you're having something similar, it's like, where am I stagnating in life? Like where is what's not moving? Like, is there something I want to give life to grow? Like, you can start becoming curious and, oh, okay. And then, so with that as well, so the condition that I've been diagnosed with is called polycystic ovarian syndrome. And there's evidence now that suggests that trauma from a young age gets lodged in the body, right? So it could be anything from parents getting divorced to childhood abuse, sexual abuse, to like your HSC, stressed out at your HSC, gets lodged in the part of the body. And for me, when I ended up going to have a breathwork session, I had quite a few, because I always sort of felt like there was something like that had happened, or something in my life that had caused me to have these issues. Because at a very young age, like my menstrual cycle was a bit irregular, and then I was put on the pill, and then I came off the pill, and then I realized that was just like a mask for the last 10 years, not really dealing with what was going on. And in the breathwork session, a lot of trauma came up from childhood that hadn't been processed.
Gotcha.
So I didn't go in there totally with no idea. I went in there just having some knowing that there was something going on. Yep. And during some of the sessions, I would literally feel the blood moving in my body again. Like, it was incredible. And after about six or so sessions spaced out over the year, my period came back. So whatever had been lodged in there at the time, I was able to process it and deal with it, and my body started. So the way I look at an ailment now in the body or something is a notification.
It's a notification that something external is causing it.
Yeah.
Possibly.
So something internal is and the external is the disease. So the external is either the like the symptoms. So like, say,
or whatever.
Yeah. So say women have like dandruff, right? They come in and they're like scalps full of dandruff. That something internal is causing the dandruff is the signal.
Gotcha.
Check it out. There's something going on inside, right?
Gotcha. So what I mean is, it's the actual symptom or the physical ailment is not the issue. There's something else causing it.
Yeah.
whether it's an external factor or an internal psychological factor or a trauma or whatever.
Yeah.
Or something that's happening at work or blah, blah, blah.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Finances, this, that. Yep. The body is just trying to communicate with us. It's whether or not we choose to listen and to tap into that. And in order to do that, we need like space and that. So within like a session, a one-on-one session as a coach, I hold the space for people to explore what is going on in their reality. Like,
right. Yeah. And so before, when you discussed Reiki and the chakras and the energy, so if things are not moving, like your cycle is not moving, that's actually an energy block.
Yeah, it could be an energy block.
Right. Okay.
Could be. Yeah. So it's really interesting. I could.
Wow, okay.
and then the thing is that when you're using, like, say, oils, for example, when we use oils on someone's scalp, right, the smell or the oil within like 60 seconds goes into the body. So it's going to go to the part of the body that needs the healing the most as well. Right. But that smell might trigger something, or it might trigger something, or it might get you into like an example of a Reiki session, without giving too much away, is that like, maybe you've been trying to talk to your partner about a situation for ages and they're not listening and you're like yelling at them and something like that. After a session, because you're calmer, you're more relaxed, right? There might come a time when you have that conversation, but it comes from a different place.
Gotcha.
Right? Different energy around it.
That's the word. Yep.
Okay. So then they're ready to listen and all that. And the dynamic changes within that.
Wow. Yeah. So I actually want to tap into that in a bit more detail. So you use certain products. So let's say I'm stressed. Whatever physical ailments are coming from stress, and I come and I go to a session with you in the salon. You use certain products. What do those products do? Do they actually?
So it depends. It might just be like, it might just be that you've had a really stressful day. And you've got a decision to make and you're like, you know, it's all up in your head type thing. And then you come in and you have a treatment and that 20 minutes that you've given yourself, that time and that relaxation and the smell, like, it just might get you into like that place, more balanced state of mind, where you can actually make a wiser decision.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So there's not necessarily the actual low toxin product, it's also the meditational aspect of the treatment.
Yeah. Bit of everything, yeah.
Energy in the right energy space.
Yeah. So the salons are very a bit different to most salons, I would say. It's a lot calmer when you walk in. It doesn't smell like a hair salon. Yeah. There's like ambient music. So it's
waterfalls. I can just hear it now. You know?
I wish. Yeah, that would be nice. We're pretty much creating a holistic experience for people. Oils, they do have a therapeutic benefit.
Yep.
So the way the oils would work, it depends. Like if you take, like if you have a headache and you take Panadol, you just mask the problem. You're like, I'm just going to take this Panadol, deal with it later. Yep. If you have a headache and you rub peppermint on your head, or if you diffuse peppermint, it won't mask. It's going to help you deal with what is going on.
Right. So how does it do that? How does it help you deal with it?
It depends.
So a different energy space.
Yeah, because you might smell it and then it's going to affect the brain. There's a whole science bit behind it, but you might actually...
Taps into mental wavelengths and whatever else.
Yeah. So I find it really interesting when people don't like an oil, because there's an emotion behind every oil. So for example, like geranium is the oil for love and trust. Right. Cilantro is the oil of like releasing control. Yeah. So when, you know, when someone's like, oh, I really don't like coriander, I'm like, right, right. Do you want to work on that? You know, like, it's like lavender's communication. And I can tell you now that there was a time in my life where I could not handle the smell of lavender. I was like, get it away from me, feel sick. That's probably the time of my life where I needed to communicate mostly than ever. So
you didn't want to communicate.
I didn't know. In that period, I did not want to. So, I didn't know what I... Doesn't matter. But the oils can help with that as well. So, yeah. So they can either trigger something or... Depends. Depends. For everyone's different.
So it's really... it's a comp. For me, I'm hearing it's a combination of the therapeutic elements of the treatments, as well as the fact that you're holistically creating a salon that is almost like a sanctuous place,
yeah,
a peaceful place, and a place where they can actually also change their energy level just intuitively and internally.
Yes.
That's really a two-pronged attack.
Yeah. And they're doing all the work. We're just like walking around.
Oh, this is great. I have to come and visit this salon.
You can come visit us. Love
to have you. So, Kelly, I would love to hear about maybe a case study or something that you could give us. You know, not anyone, like, you know, don't mention any names, but maybe just a few examples of how you've helped people in their journey or with whatever issues they faced.
Yep. Okay. One of my first Reiki clients was a friend of mine. I won't give any names or anything. And so she had a child already and she wanted to have another child. And she felt like there was a bit of a block. So I'm like, hey, I've got to practice. So, you know, like, how about I come over and practice some Reiki on you? She's like, yeah, okay. So what we uncovered in the session was that when she was a baby or when she was younger, she had her parents had another baby.
Right.
And then she felt like all the attention had been taken away from her.
Right.
So subconsciously she thought that if she had another child, that is what was going to happen here. So once we cleared that,
yeah,
she felt pregnant.
Wow. And so when you say you uncover this in the session, so you're almost at the same time doing, you know, counseling while you're working with energy, is it more just working? How do you uncover this?
So I don't really advertise this, but in some sessions, I sometimes channel.
Uh-huh.
So I get images and the image might be of them as a child. So I'll describe the image. It's a little bit like medium, but I don't like to call it that. I just get images, right?
Yeah.
So I might say to her, like, I see a photo of you on this, like I'd show her the place, like I'm in the place. And wow. And then that'll trigger her a memory, which will then trigger an emotion. Okay. So she'd be like, oh yeah. Oh, like, and then she feels it all. She's like, oh my gosh, I remember that when I was younger, this is how I felt. This is how I felt. Put it all together, clear it, let it go, process it, and then done.
So you can almost cure people and uncover
session. I wouldn't say cure, but it could just be like a little block. Like it could be a block to
just uncover. Or it's because it's most of the time people they've buried it so deep in their subconscious that they can't access it to unblock it. And you can sometimes do that in one or two sessions.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
So it is. I still find it incredible because I just go in there and practice Reiki. And then so I might not see that client and then I might see them 2 months later and they're like pregnant. I'm like, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Amazing.
So, yeah. And as a coach holding the space for someone, it could be a matter of they're like recognizing or noticing that where their patterns. So the coaching program that I offer is based around habit change,
right.
Change your habit, change your life type thing. So if you've never had a role model in your life that has showed you like self-care or nurturing or anything, then how do you know to practice? Like, how do you know to do?
How do you know what it even looks like or feels like?
Yeah. So, there's many people that like, you want to lose weight, they want to do this and it never happens. So within the 12-week program, you have that space. You get a little bit of info, curated info, and you get a lot of like space to actually figure it out. And an example of that is like one lady, her mother like never like, well, it's common, but like if you, her mother never, never like practiced self-care for herself. So this woman had never had a role model for that, right? So now she understands why it's so difficult for her and she can make changes from there. She now has the choice. She has more awareness around this. So she's like, well, yeah, okay, now I have the choice.
Gotcha.
And throughout the 12-week program, we also like practice holistic living. Like it's not about a diet. It's like journaling, movement. It's not about counting calories, anything like that. It's just a very holistic, what can I implement into my life each week, each day, being curious. So if you do eat something, instead of like hating on yourself, you can be like, oh, I wonder why I ate that. You get more in tune with what's going on with your body, and working with it as opposed to opposition. So
a great quote just came to my mind, something that I read ages ago. I can't remember who said it, but they said, replace fear with curiosity.
Yes.
And that's, I just love that because that's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I just ate a tub of ice cream. What's going on there? What feeling was I hoping to get from this ice cream, right? Yeah.
And have I got it?
And have I got it? And how will I feel in 15 minutes from now? You know, like, could I get the feeling of like pleasure in my life? Maybe some way else, like maybe by drawing or going for a walk. And things like that. So
fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. Now you mentioned something really interesting before when you said holding the space. What does that mean?
So it's basically
hold the space.
Yeah. Well, so a lot of us have grown up in families where we're like told what to do, how to think, how to feel. You don't feel like that. You know, that's not what you mean. So we start to like nearly not trust our own inner guidance, right? So within a coaching session, it's never like I'm basically, if a client is talking to me or processing or something, I basically hold the space, maybe mirror back to them what is going on for them in their reality. So not like saying, no, that's not how you feel, or so that's part of it.
It's kind of like validating and allowing them to express their thoughts rather than external opinions.
Yeah, and it's very healing. It's a very healing space.
But, I love that. Yeah. Holding the space.
It's, yeah, so I have a coach, and when I first started, we had this discussion the other day, actually. She said to me, she said, when you first started, I would cry. Like, I'd be like, what are you doing? She's just, like, sitting there, like, I didn't understand what was going on, you know. I grew up in a Greek family, like, let's face it, you know.
Yeah.
We always tell each other what to do, like.
Yeah. And just out of interest, something totally separate. Are you vegetarian?
My parents think I am. Okay. It's hilarious. They think I am. And then it was Easter this week.
Greek Orthodox. Exactly.
Yeah. And, I forgot. So mum came over and I had a little lamb in this local.
You got the lamb on the spit and everything.
She's like, aren't you fasting? And I'm like, oh, no. I said, my body is asking for lamb this week. So I very rarely eat. I eat wholesome food. I do prefer like veggies and salad and that. Yeah. I wouldn't say I'm vegetarian or vegan, but I do love all those. And I don't eat as much as I used to. So
yeah. I was just interested as well, being that you're into low toxin and whatnot. Does that translate into vegetarianism or not?
Yeah. Oh, I love going to vegetarian restaurants. My dad says to me all the time, you know, not everyone's vegan. I said, I'm not vegan. I don't know. Have you listened to me at all for the last, I'm not vegan, like, not yet.
So. Oh, that's fantastic. I love it. So Kelly, in terms of your, you know, you mentioned you've got your salon, you've also got your program. I think you said your program is usually about 12 weeks. Is that right?
Yeah, 12-week program.
12-week program. Do you do shorter programs as well? Or?
Well, so this is all sort of like coming into fruition still. So I'm sure there will be eventually. There's a couple of workshops that eventually I'll be hosting as well, which are, it's sort of small pieces of the bigger puzzle. So it depends. It is a lot more personal working one-on-one. I feel like we can go deeper depending on the group as well. Sometimes you might have a workshop and everyone's quite willing to share and, you know, so, but look, the reason it's a 12-week program is because it takes 12 weeks to change a habit. So I feel like I'm not giving them the full proper service if I just go, 3 weeks. Like, it usually takes around session 8, 9, we get deep.
Yep.
They start to actually uncover, like, oh, like get to the root of what is holding them back or,
And then once you go past that point, that's kind of like the point of no return. You've got to
That's pretty much the point of no return.
You get to that point, you say, oh, okay, now I've just made that. I can't go back now because I've realized what I've done.
Well, you can. You have a choice. You have a choice. And then, and then when you, the thing is that that's when the curiosity comes in because you're like, hang on, I sort of know a little bit better now. So what's going on for me here? that I still ate that bar of chocolate when I could have gone to bed or something like that. So then you can just start to be a bit more curious, and then you can start your journaling. You can, oh, okay. So everything that you learn over the 12 weeks sort of gets implemented throughout. That's you keep awesome. Practicing. So
I love it. I could talk about this stuff for hours.
Yeah, so could I. I'm like, what hair salon?
So now, is there anything that you want to leave the audience with just before we wrap up, in terms of maybe a little tip or a little takeaway point that you think would help people in their journey?
Okay. So depends who's going to be listening to this. I'm just going to put it out there in general. So when I started this low tox journey, I found it really overwhelming because there's so much info out there. It's like, don't do this, don't do that. You're going to die if you do this. You're dead already. Like, there was so much info. And my only tips or advice is just really small steps, you know. Nothing every day, if you make one small swap or you sit down and meditate for 5 minutes or sit in, that's how you start. It doesn't need to be like everything needs to change right now. Like, for me, this journey started about, say, four years ago, and only now, I'm journaling more. It's taken me, 3 years to actually get into that habit of sitting down at night and journaling or something like that. And remain curious. Surround yourself with people that are like-minded. That definitely helps. And one thing that when you start the journey from experience, it tends to happen, I think we get really excited about everything that we're learning. So we think we know everything as well. So we're just like my brother's like, do you have to put all your, do you have to because I'm my mum's wiping with Windex and I'm losing it, right? I'm like, what are you doing? So just everyone's on their own journey in their own time, and that's okay. That's okay. That's where everyone's at. So just small steps, small steps.
And I also kind of learned as well that learning is two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah.
Might learn, as you said, you might learn something, you think you know everything, and then you realize you really know nothing.
Yeah.
Then you go back, you got to go deeper, and then you realize you still know nothing. And it's just that's learning. The journey of learning is two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah, it's great. I used in the past, if I was in that that going step back, sometimes still I'm oh no, but I'm oh, okay. What am I going to learn here? This is really interesting now. Okay, all right. So more wisdom.
But I suppose the key is, as you've been channeling through this whole interview, is it's about self-awareness.
Yeah.
And it's about being in tune with who you are in your body as well.
Yeah.
Where you're at, even psychologically, you know, so it's about that. That's really what the key is.
Yeah.
If you don't understand yourself, or you don't welcome to analyzing what's happening, you just got to put a mask over it and you're never going to succeed in changing anything.
Yeah.
Yep. So love it. Well said, Kelly. Well said.
Thank you.
Now, Kelly, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Okay. So you can click the website, www.kelly.com.au. And from there, you'll get a landing page. So there's one that'll take you to either the salon or the coaching and Kelly website. From either of the websites, you can cross over to whichever one you want. So,
and if we want to come to the salon, treatment, where's that?
That is in San Suzy. So it's in Sydney, on Rocky Point Road, directly opposite the Low Tox KFC and McDonald's.
Right.
There's
a famous Greek restaurant around there somewhere too, no?
There's Big John.
There's a few other ones around there.
Yeah. There's a few nice restaurants there, but we're on the main road. In San Suzy.
Fantastic. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. It was really fascinating. And as I said, I could talk about this for another 2 hours, but we've got to clear the airwaves. But hopefully for all the listeners out there and the viewers, you know, we've given you a little insight into, you know, the world of metaphysics, toxins, spirituality, fertility, awareness, everything. And maybe we'll even get Kelly to come back for another episode and we'll talk about something else.
Yeah, great.
We'll actually talk about something, you know, we'll go deeper into some topics that you might be interested in. So if there's anything that you are interested in, let us know But otherwise, thank you very much again, Kelly. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, my pleasure.
And we'll see everybody tomorrow for another great episode. And we'll see you soon.